Gators Breakdown, the Gators fan podcast, because there's never a dull moment in Gator Nation.
Never a dull moment for sure in Gator Nation. This time in the recruiting world, where quarterback target Carson Beck surprisingly commits to Georgia over Florida this past weekend. Looked really good for Florida, as we said a few days ago, but the Jacksonville product chooses the rival Bulldogs. Denny Thompson from the Sports Den on 1010XL Sports Radio and Beck's quarterback trainer will join me later on to shed some light on the situation and also look at what he saw during the recruitment of Beck from the Gator staff and the Gator side of things. But before we get there, remember you can find Gators Breakdown on news4jax.com/GatorsBreakdown. There you'll find all the Gators Breakdown episodes, as well as articles from the News for Jack sports team. And also catch us on iTunes, Google Play, YouTube, Spotify. Please share, rate, review, all that good stuff. Subscribe on those platforms and on social media. Follow Gators Breakdown on Twitter and Facebook at Gators Breakdown. So let's take a look at this recruitment of Carson Beck. Before I'm joined by Denny, was originally committed to Florida to play baseball, and then last summer, right before the football season, decommitted and then committed to Alabama to play football. You know, I got to get pretty close to Carson as his school, Mandarin, was featured on News for Jack's kickoff high school football game. So I got to watch him come transfer into a new school at Mandarin and have to earn the starting quarterback role. He took off from there as he helped Mandarin to a state championship. Beck played in a, you know, pretty heavy RPO offense, and in 14 games passed for 3,500 yards, 39 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, 59% completion percentage, broke his thumb in the first game of the season, also played with some other injuries throughout the season, but ended up earning the title of Mr. Football in the state of Florida. So you know, kind of not long after that, he camps at Florida for a junior day in early February, decommits from Alabama soon after, and that really starts a lot of Florida talk from there. Mullen visited Mandarin, really impressed the coaching staff there, really impressed Beck and his family at junior day, and even as of a week ago had named Florida his leader. This one was as close to being wrapped up as can be, from everything that I was hearing from multiple sources. And then, you know, here comes a Georgia offer mid last week. Now, I don't want to make it sound like Georgia just jumped in to recruiting Beck. He visited there multiple times, has a relationship with some of the UGA staff there. So Beck gets the UGA offer, sets up a visit, and that's where I started hearing things could change if he visits Georgia. I still felt confident in Florida, as I thought it would take more than just this visit to change some things as dramatically as it did. But Beck visits Athens over the weekend, and on Sunday morning, here comes all the positive Georgia talk, which to me was expected after a visit. Those things kind of happen. Similar event happened with the recruitment of Kyer Elam with Georgia and Florida. But after he visits Georgia, of course, started getting a lot of Georgia buzz. Since that started coming out, I had to start poking around and, you know, found out that the reports were real, that UGA really put themselves in good shape for Beck. So early afternoon Sunday rolls around, and then my phone's blowing up that Beck would be committing to Georgia on Sunday. You know, I wasn't worried as early as Sunday morning. But my, how quickly things changed throughout the day and the rest is history as Carson Beck, you know, kind of stunned Florida and commits to Georgia there. So now, I'm going to attempt to look at this from both sides here. This does hurt the optics of recruiting. Optics do matter to a certain extent here. You know, this 2020 class has lost some commitments in recent weeks and lost some momentum and now, you know, lost out on a huge target that this staff absolutely wanted. And not only did Florida not receive his commitment, Beck committed to your biggest conference rival, your biggest SEC rival, one of your biggest rivals overall, if not the biggest in some fans' eyes, they are in mine, and a team that just keeps stacking top talent in Georgia there. So now you can't really blame Carson Beck for choosing Georgia in the form of a friendly depth chart. Many expect this to be Jake Fromm's final season in Athens, and that means there would be a wide open spot for Beck to come in and start as a true freshman after Jake Fromm leaves, if he leaves. But a lot of people think he does. So And then Georgia was able to sell him on scheme fit and playing with other top recruits, especially along the offensive line with the way Georgia has recruited. Now the scheme thing is where I don't buy into it too much from my perspective. You know, first of all, if you're giving me a choice to be developed by Dan Mullen or James Coley, then that's a no-brainer for me. But Georgia was able to sell that vision. You know, good for them. I know there's a lot of discussion about scheme fit at Florida for Beck, but no doubt if Mullen was going after him, then Mullen was able to adjust, and Mullen felt comfortable about adjusting an offense to Beck. Now, I'm just not sure how much he'd have to adjust. You know, we saw what Clemson was able to do with Trevor Lawrence and kind of just tailoring that offense by, you know, him excelling at throwing the ball, running a bit less than past quarterbacks. And we saw how Mullen was able to put together an offense with Felipe Franks this past season. Now, if Carson Beck could be a better version, a more accurate version than what we saw from Felipe Franks this past season, then we saw the potential of this offense under a quarterback of that type. But Georgia was able to sell a more traditional offense, and all that combined was enough to get Carson Beck to choose Georgia over Florida. So, you know, this one hurts because it's another top state of Florida kid choosing to go out of state and to Georgia. Hurts because it's an area, from an area in Jacksonville where you're trying to get into being the school to beat the area kids, and get the area kids from other schools in the Jacksonville area. You know, in the grand scheme of things, this really may not matter a whole lot to Florida with what Florida has at quarterback in Emory and Jalen Jones, and what they could bring in 2020 and future classes. But in the end, you know, Florida may not be, you know, personally hurt by this, except for the fact that now you have to play Beck at a rival school, and if it turns out to be as good as expected, then that is a problem. You know, that's not to say Florida won't beat Georgia or Florida can't go in there and play with Georgia, but, you know, but I do expect Beck to be a very good player and make Georgia tough to beat on top of already being a really good team now. You know, this just extends the lifespan of how good Georgia can be. So, you know, I fully expect to be, you know, for Florida to be just fine at quarterback under Dan Mullen, but the staff really wanted Beck and lost out in the end. So, not all is lost. Some 2020 class momentum has stalled, but, you know, there's plenty of time to go get another quarterback in this class, and maybe Anthony Richardson gets back into the fold, or maybe it's another quarterback, but I'm not worried about Mullen finding a quarterback and developing them. So, you know, with all that said, yes, it hurts. In the long run, it may not matter. But we'll see where it all ends up. Let's bring in Denny Thompson, host of The Sports Den on 1010XL here in Jacksonville, and also QB trainer for Carson Beck at 6 Points. Denny, thanks for joining me here on Gators Breakdown.
My pleasure, Dave.
All right, so first, you know, I will preface this. You know, I know you don't want to share everything with the relationship with Carson Beck, so I guess I'll start it with share what you can, and you know, we'll go from there. But first off, you know, what is your background of your relationship with Carson?
I've known Carson a couple years. It's actually funny. His dad, Chris, called me, I guess, 2 years ago before he was a starter. He was backing up Carter Bradley at Providence and called me and said, hey, let's go grab lunch, and I want to talk to you about my son. And so, as you can imagine, I get that call all the time. And so I was listening to Chris tell me about Carson. And I had seen Carson physically. He's got all the tools and all that stuff even at that point. But he told me, he said, I think my son can be pretty special. And I politely said, Chris, I hear this daily. And so let me see Carson. And so brought him in, and a couple years back, I guess he was about, you know, 14 years old, 15 years old, something like that. And within 5 throws, I looked at Chris and was like, pretty special is an understatement, Chris. This kid is legitimately special. Like, you know, one of the top arm talents I've ever seen at that age. And so that's where it all started. And so I've been training Carson since then. It's not, you know, it's a pretty easy job when a cat's that talented. You just kind of get out of the way and hope you don't screw something up. But he's got a baseball background, so we've had some struggles mechanically that he's worked hard to get through. And now here we are, and I think he's the top quarterback in the country, period. Dual threat, pocket passer. If you clump them all together, I think you come out, I think 5 years from now, we'll look back and we'll see Carson is probably the best one of the bunch.
Yeah, Denny, and you know, this is the Gator football centric podcast, and you know, this one hurts for Florida fans, and
that hurts to say. It hurts to say as a Gator fan. It does. That's the funny thing is I went through yesterday, and we'll get into this a little bit, and I'm going to tell the full story because I got 3 hours tonight on radio. Shameless plug. If you want to listen at 7 o'clock, but yeah, I mean I understand. I mean you're talking about I'm sitting at a Florida Gator game. Saturday night, sitting at the Florida Georgia basketball game with my son and my wife, and I'm texting back and forth to Athens. So I get it. I do understand. It does suck to hear, but at the same time, the decision's been made, and I think it's final.
Yeah, and okay, you go back to last week, and it looked good for Florida. Named Florida his leader last week, and it gets an offer from Georgia later in the week. That wasn't totally unexpected. You knew that was going to come at some time. Decides to visit, then commits. What was Georgia able to do to secure Carson's commitment?
I think there's a couple things. One, I think it's important to know that Georgia's people that know Carson have known for a while that Georgia was the one program. Maybe Georgia and Stanford, I'll say that, were probably the two programs that, if they really generated a big interest in Carson, that could threaten the relationship with Florida. That was pretty much it, those two. And pro-style offenses. And Georgia more – Carson always had was always intrigued by Carson, by Georgia, even when we first started working together. I can remember him saying that. And really the holdup with Georgia initially – wasn't anything that's there now. It was Chaney at Tennessee, and I don't know that Chaney. I think when Chaney first saw Carson, he wasn't blown away by him, and that's fine. That's fair. It's no big deal. But they did a good job of listening to what he wanted to know. Carson's not a kid that cares anything about facilities, David. He doesn't. It's not anything like that. It's how do I fit? How are you going to use me? What's the plan? And I don't want promises. I don't want anything like that. Like, I know I've got to compete. I know all that. I just want to know, how do you see me at your school? And everybody has their own way of explaining that. And Georgia just did an amazing job. And as a Florida fan, I can say this. The University of Georgia is an impressive place. It's, what they've done with their facilities, what they're still doing with their facilities. That's the crazy thing. It's like they just get done, and they announce another facility. And so it's they're very ahead of the game with all that kind of stuff. But I think they did a good job in the way that they treated Carson like a professional. And not to say that Florida didn't, but they looked at this as, this is what we see us doing with you guys. This is where we're at with Jake. This is where we're going to be. This is what we would like to do offensively. And then kind of put the ball in his court.
And so, everything works out. He's playing at Georgia in a couple years, 3 years, down the road or so. What kind of quarterback is Georgia getting in Carson? What are the things he does well? What are things he'll work on as he goes through his senior season?
Yeah, we've got a lot to work on. There's a lot to work on with Carson. As high as I am with my praise with Carson, you take guys like him and the Florida State commit, Jeff Sims, and a couple of the other guys that we have that are big-time players. They all have things that we're still working towards. Specifically with Carson is he's still got a lot of baseball in him. The dude was an elite baseball player. And I say was because he's so bought into football that he's put the bat down. And he's played baseball his whole life, so he's still got some baseball in him. He's throwing it better than he's ever thrown it, but we still have mechanically a couple things to do. But the biggest thing with Carson is he's still continuing to evolve and learn how to be sudden in his movements. And you don't have to be fast as a quarterback. Everybody talks about Aaron Rodgers and all these guys. They're sudden. They're not fast. When they want to move, they're there. And sort of short, quick movements inside the pocket or get out of the pocket and really just, hip flexibility, things like that. And so we're still working. We work daily on that stuff, specifically with Carson, other guys on other things. The one thing that I think separates Carson from a lot of guys is his knowledge of the game and his just thirst, Dave, to learn everything there is about football, whether it's an offense he's running or not. He wants to know. And during their state championship run last year, we would spend, you know, 3 or 4 hours every Sunday morning watching film. And I was blown away a couple weeks ago when he still remembered the details of what those teams were trying to do defensively, down to when I line up in this formation, this is what they're wanting to do. We're, what, 3 months past that, 4 months past that? And Carson can still recite that stuff to you like we were studying it yesterday.
Denny Thompson from the Sports Den on 1010XL and 6 Points Quarterback Training joining us right here on Gators Breakdown. And Denny, we'll get some, we'll kind of shift focus to Florida a little bit here. You were around Mullen and staff during this recruitment. You know, I remember you gave high praise for Mullen and some of the things that he was saying and doing, especially when Carson was on his junior day visit there. What can you share in what Mullen and his staff are bringing to the table?
There's a ton. As a Florida fan, I am still just as excited as I've been. I know it wasn't the best weekend. I think the Braun kid had to go to Texas or something. Yeah, yep. I know it wasn't the best weekend. But I don't think that's any reason to derail excitement in Gainesville. I've been around Coach Mullen. I've been around Coach Johnson enough that I can tell you that these are driven individuals. And I loved – yeah, I talked to Coach Johnson quite a bit over the weekend, and I really like that guy. I really like Coach Johnson. I think his future is you know, limitless in the game of football. But you know they're Zoom focused right now, Dave. They want to win a national championship. You know, it's not even a SEC East championship. It's not even an SEC championship. It's a national championship that they're after, and that's what they're focused on. And they live by this Gator standard thing. This isn't just a publicity thing or something they say to look good. It's behind closed doors or on the phone or whatever. You hear that a lot, and they're holding themselves to this standard. They're holding others to this standard. And quite frankly, like as a fan, I saw my wife this, who is a Georgia fan, ironically. I saw my wife last night. I was like, you know, it's yes, when Carson puts the red and black on, I'm going to be a Georgia fan. Just like when Jeff puts maroon and garnet and gold on, that's hard to even say. I'm going to be a Florida State fan. But I'm excited about the next 4, 5, 10 years, whatever this cycle runs, I think we're getting into it. I think we're getting into a very good time in Gainesville at the University of Florida with what Coach Mullen and crew are doing.
And also, Denny, there was this stigma of Carson not being a fit for Mullen's system. You know, was that a deterrent? Was too much made of that? You know, what was the vision of Mullen and, you know, this so-called, you know, he has to have a running quarterback for this offense to be successful?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I've been asked that a lot. It's not even a running quarterback. We've heard him say this before, and I've heard him say it privately, is he wants a willing runner. And listen, it's your offense. It's what you're comfortable in, and you shouldn't mold your offense around a kid when there's so much talent around the country. You should recruit a kid for your offense, if that makes sense. If you're good at calling your offense, then there's plenty of players out there that fit the mold of what Dan Mullen wants to do. Did Carson fit that? Sure, I think Carson could adapt to it. Was he ideal for it? Probably not. Probably not, but he's – and they recognize this, and that's why they want him so badly. He's so stinking good that you say, okay, well, he does this so much better than this, so all we're going to do is we're going to focus on the parts that he can do well, and maybe for the next 3 years we'll throttle down a little bit what we're wanting to ask him to do running the football, which is fine. But I don't – as far as the fit goes, you know, is he the perfect fit? Probably not. Is he a fit? Yeah. He's a fit in what they want to do. He's not Dak Prescott, right? I mean, he's got more arm talent than what Dak had coming in, but he's not Dak Prescott, and Dak Prescott wasn't that great of a runner coming into Mississippi State. He's not Nick Fitzgerald. He's, you know, the comparisons that we hear all the time are Andrew Luck.
Yep.
You know, that's the ones that we hear all the time. So, and I think really Jake Fromm, to a certain extent, is a pretty good comparison. I think Trevor Lawrence is a pretty good comparison.
That's the one that I look at there, especially what Clemson was able to do, and kind of that wouldn't necessarily change their offense, but you know, adapted to what he can do. That's kind of how I saw what if Beck went to Florida and this whole system talk. That's kind of how I saw it.
Yeah, and so I, you know, here's the good news for that is I think at once they take a deep breath, they'll go identify a couple guys and they'll find somebody that they plug in, because I think what they have there now with Emory and Jalen that's exactly what you want if you're a Florida fan running out there on Saturdays as far as a stylistic fit is concerned. Now, can they do it at that level? Still be seen.
Right. Then we talk about perfect fit, and hey, you've been around where one player where some think is the perfect fit, but the Gators lost a commitment from Gainesville's Anthony Richardson, and you know, I'm sure he'll be the top target moving forward. What have you seen from in the limited time you've been around him at some of these camps?
Baseline talent is beyond elite. I may have even tweeted this. I don't know. I don't remember. But whenever I had him and Carson and Jeff on the same day, along with, you know, at Elite 11, along with some of the best quarterbacks in this area, I thought from a baseline standpoint, meaning just raw, I thought he was the most talented guy there. Good guy, hard worker, you know, really good kid. A lot of stuff to work on. And I have actually we've been texting quite a bit since then, and we're trying to get to work on some of that stuff. But the future for that young man is like so crazy bright, Dave. He's come so far in the last year, and he works so hard. And he's got an old school mentality of he doesn't get out there and talk. He just works, man. And he's a fun kid to be around. I think Florida's always. I think there's a big misconception out there in Florida Twitter or Florida social media that Florida backed off of him when they started recruiting Carson. That's not true.
Thank you. I said it this morning as well, so I'm glad somebody else could put it out there too. They didn't back off. Yeah.
They did not back off. I saw it with my own two eyes. Like, I mean, I was there at junior day. And there were certain times that I was wondering, which one do they like more? Because they were completely equal, if not spending more time with Richardson that day. So I don't think that is a complete falsehood that they backed off. I don't know, and I didn't ask him, but I'm not going to ask it because I don't get involved, much to what people want to tell other people about me. I don't get involved with this stuff at all. My job is just simply that wherever they go, they're the best they can possibly be. That's my job. And so I think to answer your question directly, if they could land Anthony Richardson, they've got a potential Heisman candidate there. I'm excited to work with that young man. Really excited to work with him. And I think he's special.
Now, Danny, before I let you go, we'll talk about the current Florida quarterback and the guy who will probably be taking the snaps when they play Miami coming up in August. And, hey, look, Felipe Franks, his progression under Dan Mullen, it really took a big step into year one. From your, you know, quarterback training eyes, what do you see in the progression of Felipe Franks?
Well, I mean, there's two ways to answer that question. I can give you the answer that you – I can give you the answer to the question that you asked, or I can tell you that I disagree with your assessment there.
Okay, there we go.
I don't know that I'm bought in that Felipe's going to be the guy. Here's the angle I'm going to take with this. No inside information at all. None at all. This is just if I'm putting on my hat if I'm Dan Mullen. Emory Jones ain't going to sit there and wait another year. It's not going to happen. And so if you go to spring, my gut is about, I think they start spring practice when, 2 weeks from now?
The 12th, 13th around there, yeah.
Yeah. I think when they open up that first spring practice, second spring practice, whatever it is, and the media go out there, I think you're going to see Emory and Felipe getting pretty close to equal reps. And I think it's going to be a legit quarterback competition. And I think they know that whichever one they don't pick coming out of spring is going to transfer. And I think either one could.
So you even think that would this probably be in Felipe Franks last year that Emory would still really, 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 really wants to play this year?
I think he does. Okay. I think he does. And I've not talked to Emory about this at all. Not at all. I just want to be clear about that. But I know how hard Emory's working, and I know the expectations. And here's the bigger thing that I see when I watch a Florida game. And you got to go back to the Georgia game last year and the week following that or the 2 weeks following that of the frustrations that we all had watching Felipe. Is Dan Mullen met Felipe Franks halfway last year. Felipe Franks did not come all the way to Dan Mullen at the end of the year, meaning Dan Mullen scaled back what he wanted to do to fit what Felipe could do. And that's why the success at the end of the year happened. That, and they played some pretty bad football teams. Let's face it, Florida State was a bad football team last year. And Michigan was a good football team, had some guys out, but they struck gold against Michigan. I think what you saw a lot was Felipe got better, but I think you saw the real value in Dan Mullen at the end of the season. I don't think that's what Dan Mullen wants to do long term. And I think with the talent that he's got there, if he feels like Emory Jones can execute his offense better, then you run Emory out there. And so I think that, to me, that's the storyline that I think a lot of people are missing heading into the spring. And if I'm wrong on it, I'm wrong. And I've been wrong a million times on this kind of stuff. But I'm sitting here looking at the current landscape of college football says, I'm going to give it 2 years, and if it's not there, I'm transferring. And it's easier to transfer now. And here's the other thing. If you're Dan Mullen, which one do you want to transfer? I guess that's the question. There's two questions you answer. Which one gives us the best chance to win and run my offense? Which one would I least like to lose?
And that's a pretty simple question there. So,
you know, ask me at the end of the spring of you know, which one gives you the best chance to win. Right now, I mean, can any of us say with certainty that that's Felipe?
Good stuff, Nini. Yeah, I mean, taking a look at it from a different angle. So one of the reasons I like interacting with you. And, hey, look, we'll have to definitely get back together here on the podcast and your radio show so people know where they can find you and all they can do for you and listening to you, especially if they're here in the Jacksonville area or on demand for 1010XL.
Yeah, 1010XL, 92.5 FM here in Jacksonville. You can download the 92.5 FM app. Usually we are on 9 to 11, 5 nights a week. This week's a little different. We're on 7 to 10, all 5 nights this week, which is good because we got a lot to talk about.
Yeah. You say we let people know who you're talking about.
Me and James Coleman. I'm trying to avoid that on a Gator podcast.
we had him on Florida State week, so it's all good.
Former Florida State Seminole legend in his own mind, James Coleman. James, good dude. And here's the thing about James too. Like, if y'all don't follow James, James breaks a lot of Florida stuff now. I mean, between you and James, that's really the only two Florida writers that I follow. So it's you know, the guy's got some. When he says he's got sources, James is one of my closest friends. I can tell you, I know his sources. They're pretty dang good. So yeah, he's a good follow as well at Big Game James 36. So Dave, I appreciate it. Now you understand that you have to return the favor now.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. No problem being on with you guys. I enjoy all the stuff we did in the fall during football season when we got to talk about this, you know, Dan Mullen turning around this team. So hope to do it some more.
Absolutely, man.
All right, Denny. Thanks for being on Gators Breakdown, man.
Thanks, bud.
Big thanks to Denny there for his insight in the recruitment of Carson Beck and stuff you won't find anywhere else there except for his own radio show, but I really thank him enough. I can't thank him enough for really, you know, just sharing all that info and bringing it like nobody else would on this topic, and really glad I could get him on here for you guys. As you know, it was a punch to the gut there, but you know, good for Carson, good kid. We'll end up there, but hopefully in the end he's Gator bait when it's all said and done when these two teams meet here in Jacksonville. You may have missed it yesterday. Denny brought it up as well, but with all the Beck news, it kind of got lost. But grad transfer offensive lineman from Georgia Tech, Parker Braun, committed to Texas when it looked you know, really good for him at one time to be a Gator. You know, Florida had a great opportunity with four guys leaving and for Braun to step right in at a guard spot. I don't think it's a huge miss, but I definitely would have liked to have him in the rotation with all of his experience. It definitely would be better to have him than not have him. But he wouldn't have been able to go through spring practice and all that. He would have been able to kind of show up in May and go from there. But with his experience, I had no doubt he kind of could have stepped in and really helped you know, the Florida offensive line with the lack of experience that they have. But speaking of spring practice, there, Will Miles and I look for it this week as well. It'll be posted really soon. We'll start our spring football preview. We'll look on the offensive side of the ball and all the questions that surround, you know, kind of the position groupings there along the Florida Gators and their offense. And quarterback, running back, wide receiver, offensive line, tight end, plenty of questions there. Not as much as last year, but still some questions to go around for this Florida Gators team. So once again, thanks to Denny Thompson for joining us here to talk about this Carson Beck situation and him committing to Georgia over Florida. And guys and girls, I can't thank you enough for checking out Gators Breakdown. I'm the host, David Waters. You can find me on Twitter at GatorDave_SEC. Thanks for listening to this episode of Gators Breakdown.